I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats.
I spazz
to social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these coronapocalypse streets. We are on day, I don't even know. I feel like at some point I should have a grasp, right, of how many days of quarantine we're in. But then when I really thought about it, I feel like we all were... not all of us, but some of us have different markers, because I feel like there are many people who were on quarantine way before there was this government mandate in this, you know, New York City shutdown. So for me, it's about maybe a month and a couple of days now, because my quarantine, I would say, officially started the day that they shut down the schools. And that's been about a month now, a month and maybe like 3 days. But there have been people who have place themselves, I guess, on quarantine, you know, even from, you know, the last week of February. So for me, I guess I'm about a month into this quarantine business. For others, it could be 2 months. Either way, the struggle is still real. I am having a hard time adjusting to this new normal. In my mind, I thought that I probably would have been there by now, but there's nothing normal about this. There's nothing cool about this. And, you know, my number one priority at this time is to maintain my mental health. Every morning I wake up, I look around and I'm like, there is no activity for me today outside of these apartment walls. And I don't know if it's just me. I feel like every day is just, the days are just going by so fast. Literally it's sunrise and then it's sunset. And then it's sunrise and then it's sunset. And it's like this cycle. Like I wake up and then 2 hours later, it's time to go back to sleep. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's how it is when you're stuck in the house all day. Maybe that's just, I don't know, maybe that's normal. But I just find it to be, I don't know, I just find that the days are escaping. The year is almost to an end. I know I exaggerate a lot. We're only in April, but we're about to be in May. So I don't know, like, it's just, it's hard to adjust. It's really hard to adjust to this way of life. And no matter how great you think you're getting at it, I just feel like it really, I don't know, it eats away at you. I mean, again, for me, I think my biggest, it's not concern, but what I hope to come out mentally sane. I hope that when I get out of this house, when I get out of quarantine jail, that I come out with all of my faculties and all of my marbles. I feel like for the majority of us, we will be changed to an extent. But I don't know. I'm just thinking about this week. You know, my son is going beyond stir crazy to the point where he's taking it out on my cat. Like he's yelling at the cat. He's taking his frustrations at the cat. It, you know, and the cat himself, Chester, is going crazy in this house. I didn't think animals can go stir crazy, but I guess for them, the change is that the humans are in the house all damn day. Like they don't have that alone time anymore. So my cat, who is, I would say, one of the most affectionate cats you will ever meet this side of the Mississippi, he's been jumping around, doing the craziest things. For those of you who follow me on my personal social media on Instagram, he's gotten into yoga. He has these interesting cat yoga poses that he will randomly do. But the latest thing that he has been into, he is now trying to perfect his gymnastics. So my headboard, I guess, is fairly large, and it has like a beam. I call it the New Balance beam. So this cat literally leaps from the ground to my headboard and tries to balance himself like he is Simone Biles. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I think what's more concerning for me is that he does this at all hours of the day. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 5 p.m. Like he is, it's ridiculous. But either way, he's never done this post or prior to the quarantine, pre-quarantine, right? So I definitely think this is a symptom of being on lockdown with humans for too long. Either way, I digress. So today's show is going to be pretty interesting, I think. Well, maybe interesting is not the word, but it's going to be very important for you guys to keep it locked, because we are going to be discussing something that is, I think, highly important for our community, particularly the Black community. And particularly during this time of COVID-19, I think this topic is extremely important. So we're going to be talking about advanced directives, namely healthcare proxies. So at some point in my legal career, I was heavily involved in advocating for elders, you know, elderly people, to complete healthcare proxies and really trying to get the community to understand the importance of a healthcare proxy. This was many moons ago, and then I kind of drifted into other areas of the law, but it's always been something of interest for me. A couple of years ago with the Haitian American Lawyer Association, I got with the Haitian American Nurses Association, and we put together a health and law symposium where we talked about advanced directives and their importance, again, particularly for the Black community. Now, everybody should have it, but I find that we within the Black community are a little resistant to creating these such directives. I know when I'm talking to my parents or with my mom, my uncle, it's as if they feel like they don't want to give their kids the power to potentially kill them. As absurd as it sounds, not everybody, you know, Haitians especially have serious trust issues with their children. I don't know where it comes from, but it's always, you know, talking about death and having to really discuss, like, what would you want to happen to you in the event that you were incapacitated, in the event that you were in the hospital, you know, and were in need of, you know, extraordinary measures. Do you want to be on a ventilator? If so, how long do you want to be on a ventilator? Do you want to be resuscitated? These are all important questions. These are all important things that need to be discussed. And it doesn't matter how old you are. During this COVID-19, we have seen our friends and families of all ages die, literally. Like a month and a half ago, who would have thought that this would be our situation right now, right? And so just as the coronavirus does not discriminate, you know, being in a car accident, that doesn't discriminate against anybody. And so it's really important that we take the time to really think about what we want, what our goals are, what our end of life goals are, what do we want to happen to us when we're in the hospital. Believe it or not, certain people do not want to be resuscitated if they end up in a tragic situation in the hospital, right? But some people do. And I've seen firsthand families go at war over medical decisions, you know, because the individual is incapacitated. And at that point, there's no directive, there's no paperwork. And so the families are tasked with what to do with this individual's body. And so I think that, again, during this time of corona, a lot of people are losing their lives. We have people on ventilators. We have families having to make tough decisions whether or not to pull the plug. And I think that this is a time of reflection and that we really should take that time to think about what we want and who we want to appoint. And so we're going to get into all of this conversation a little later in the show. Again, keep it locked. It's really important. I know a lot of times I like to talk about interesting, funny things, but you know, there's a time for serious conversations as well too. And this one I think is particularly important. So please keep it locked. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know that we have our preliminaries. So everyone, it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Pop it. What fleek? Is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is vibe check. Vibe check, a process by which a group or individual obtains a subjective assessment of the mental and emotional state of another person, place, or thing. Not anchored in or limited to science, psychology, or sociology. Grounded in belief in patchouli, sage, or karma, and sometimes veggie burgers. Example, Kyle dropped by the Veggie Drum Jam to perform a vibe check. After application of the Fine High Mountain Sage, the vibes improved drastically. The evening commenced in a very mellow direction. So this is not exactly what I thought it was going to mean. I mean, it kind of does mean what I thought it was going to mean, but it totally ended on a totally different, I don't know, spectrum. But I'm sure a lot of you have heard the term vibe check before. I've definitely heard it. I don't think I've ever used it, but I mean, I think it's self-explanatory. Vibe check, right? You're able to decipher, you're able to assess somebody's vibe, somebody's aura, somebody's, you know, emotional state just by observing them. Now, I don't understand the part about it being grounded in patchouli, sage, and karma and veggie burgers, but what I think they're trying to say is that it kind of goes beyond science, right? It's more of a feeling. It's more of a feeling that you get. Like, you know, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you feel as if this person might be crazy, or you feel as if this person is good people's, because you just get that sense. Some might, I guess I could see where they're going with this whole sage, karma, veggie burgers, usually people who are kind of like in tune with the crystals and whatnot, soothsayers, mediums. Maybe that's what they're trying to get at. But either way, vibe check is the word of the week. And I thought that it was a cool word because right now I've seen so many memes and so many, content on dating while, living in Corona. Right. And so it's very hard, I guess, to really get a good read off of somebody if you're just texting them all the time. I mean, online dating has always been what it was, but at some point the idea was to move from the online platform and actually meet in person. So with coronapocalypse putting a damper on dating, you know, it's really hard to really gauge if somebody's genuine, if somebody has a good vibe, if they have a good aura just through phone calls, text messaging, or I don't know, you know, messaging within the app. So I don't know how useful this word will be for you guys this this week, but that's what popped in on the Urban Dictionary link. So therefore, that is the word for the week. Hopefully you guys will figure out a way to put it to good use. So we are now on to one of my favorite sections of the show. It is now time for the big up of the week.
Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What?
So this week's big up of the week goes to the Flatbush United Mutual Aid. So last week, I know we talked about the Bronx who had their own mutual aid fund, and we talked about the amazing work that, you know, the Bronx Democrats, and there's another organization, I can't remember their name, but how they were getting together to help feed those who could not feed themselves and those who were truly in need in the Bronx. But this week I wanted to throw it back to Brooklyn. Because if we're going to talk about the Bronx, there's no way we can't talk about Brooklyn. And wanted to shout out the Flatbush United Mutual Aid. So this group came to me from my dear friend, Laura Jean-Jacques, who always has her hands in the community. She always knows what's going on. And so she brought this to my attention several weeks ago, actually, that she was going to be involved in this organization. And I had reached out to her saying that, you know what, you know, I'm starting to feel a little better. I really want to do, you know, my part as well, too. You know, how can I help? And so she also, again, redirected me to this organization that's doing amazing things. So basically, this organization is providing free groceries and deliveries. And also, I think there's other donations as well, too, to individuals who are within the community, particularly the central Brooklyn area, who are in need of support. Right. So during this corona apocalypse, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are in need. A lot of people have, you know, children that they have to feed. They have bills that they have to pay. And so this organization has come together to really, you know, help the community thrive, because their concept is we are a village. Right. And so if we are a village, we have to be able to take care of each other. you know, and sometimes that could be donating your, it might not be donating money. Maybe you don't have the actual money to donate because you yourself lost your job, but you might be able-bodied and you can deliver groceries. Maybe you can, you know, answer calls. Maybe you can take requests. So there's definitely more than one way to assist and to be part of, you know, to be, I guess, a global citizen in a sense. And so I definitely wanted to shout out this group. So if you are interested in donating your, you know, any money, any goods, if you are able to donate your time, which I think is one of the biggest things they're looking for right now is volunteers, definitely send a email to, let me see if I can find it, Mutual Aid Flatbush. So that's MUTUALAID Flatbush @gmail.com. Or you can DM my dear friend Laura Jean-Jacques directly. Her Instagram is Laura, LauraJJACQUES. So Laura J. Jock. So you can DM her specifically to ask any questions, or you can send an email, like I said, to mutualaidflatbush@gmail.com. So I definitely want to give this group a round of applause. As you can see, I have new toys that I'm playing with, new sound effects, but definitely want to give them a round of applause for the work that they're doing. And for everybody out there who is doing amazing work too, if you or someone you know, I think that's how you say it, right? If you or someone you know is doing amazing things in the community, whether it be, you know, food pantry work, donating groceries, or something else that's totally outside the box, definitely send an email to accordingtorp@gmail.com, or you could slide up in my DMs with appropriate requests or appropriate inquiries, and definitely let me know, you know, who's doing what in the community. We would definitely love to shout them out on this platform. So with every high, you know that there is a low. This week, you know, I'm trying to stay away from government lows, right? I feel like for the last couple of weeks, I have just been talking about the lows from the coronavirus, talking about the government, shouting out all these hoarders. And, you know, as much as it's important to know, you know, what evil lies within our gates, sometimes the womp womp of the week has to be entertaining. And so last night, I'm sure if you guys are part of the Instagram internet world, you have been flooded with memes about Teddy Riley and Babyface. So Teddy Riley is my womp womp of the week. So last night, you know, my friends in the chat groups, they were like, girl, you're going to go catch the, you know, the Instagram live, the battle between Babyface and Teddy Riley. I was like, yeah, I grew up on that music. So I went on to Instagram. And I went on to Teddy Riley's Instagram Live. And what I saw was nothing. I was there waiting for something to happen as of the entire world, because I think there was like 400,000 people that were waiting for some magic to happen. But when I entered the group, I saw Babyface looking at the camera. He had some like music in the background, but he had this like dumbfounded look on his face. Like, why am I even here? And then Teddy Riley was literally in his own like concert studio. He had the mic stand. I saw like a hype man. He had like the keyboardist on the side. Like, he was on a real stage dressed to the gods. And I was just like, where am I? Like, is this... You know, I've seen some of these battles and they were not that sophisticated. And so as I was trolling Instagram for comments, because I know that if I was looking at this, like, you know, with my eyebrow up, somebody else was definitely feeling the same way. I saw Swiss Beats Instagram Live where he was just like, Teddy Riley was doing too much. I mean, Babyface was in a studio. He was sitting in a chair. It might have been his iPhone or Galaxy. I don't know what was capturing the moment, what was on, but it definitely was not a, like, you know, a studio quality like camera. He didn't have backup singers. He didn't have a hype man. Like, it's like, you know, when they say that thing, like, you know, I guess when you go to a fight and like, you know, you brought a knife to a gunfight. Like, it seemed like they were on two separate playing fields. Like, Teddy Riley came to perform an actual concert with concert-esque equipment. And Babyface was like, I'm just here to do a battle in my studio with my iPhone. Either way, people were so disappointed. They were so disappointed because they took time away from, I mean, again, we're in Corona apocalypse. What else are we doing? But there are people who actually have, you know, legit things going on, right? There are essential workers out there. Life is still going on for most people. Well, for many people, maybe not most people. Either way, you guys get my point. So, I mean, should we really be that mad that they wasted our time? I mean, what else would we have done, right? What else would we be doing anyways? What I find this to be is more entertaining than anything else. I was not pissed off. I'm just highly entertained by all of the memes that came out of this situation. Anybody who knows me well knows that I am in love with memes. I love to laugh. And what this gave me, I think what really came out of this, the positivity that came out of the Teddy Riley fiasco, is that he provided the world with more memes. Black people are some of the most creative people on this earth. In fact, they are the most creative people on this earth, because the memes that I woke up to this morning, none can compare. So he gets the womp womp of the week, though, only because, bruh, the government has been shut down and the cities have been shut down for God knows how long now, right? We're not expecting you to have backup singers and a hype man. Like, all of that stuff is what created the delays. Like, why was there a sound check? Why was there, you know, technical difficulties? Just turn on your iPhone. Turn on your Galaxy. Bring up your iPad. Like, if you have a GoPro, like, we didn't need to have like a videographer. We didn't need to have like a studio, you know, studio setup, a concert setup. We didn't need a hype man. We didn't need a show. This was not the Teddy Riley show. Like, it was a simple battle. It was a simple battle. And just like, you know, Swizz Beatz says, this is like how doing too much, you know, gets you in trouble. Like, this is where doing too much goes wrong. And he did too much. We didn't need all of that. We were just happy. I would have personally been happy if they just like sang with their own vocals, like their songs, like without even the instrumentals. Like, I would have been okay with that. But I digress. But either way, Teddy Riley is the womp womp of the week. You know, he's the womp womp of the week, but he might be the big up of the week just because of all of the memes, all of the joy, all of the sheer joy and pleasure that I'm getting from his downfall. I don't know. What do you guys think? Was it really that serious? Does he actually really need the womp womp of the week? I don't know. But I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good diversion from all of the depressing womp womps we've been getting over the last couple of weeks. So either way. So now it's time for the meat of the show. So today we are talking about advanced directives, particularly healthcare proxies. And so we're going to talk about what a healthcare proxy is, what an advanced directive is, and then the importance. Why do we need them? Why is it important that we have them in place? Where do we get them? How do we fill them out? So we're going to cover all of that on today's show. So what is a healthcare proxy? So healthcare proxies are legal documents that allow for an individual to appoint another to make a healthcare decision on his or her behalf in the event that they are incapacitated. So incapacitation can be dementia, Alzheimer's, you're in a coma, any situation or scenario that, you know, in which you're not lucid, you're not alert, you're not aware to be able to communicate your wishes. So why is a healthcare proxy important? Well, again, the healthcare proxy ensures that you have a voice. So when you cannot speak for yourself, the healthcare proxy, in a sense, is your voice communicated through an appointed agent. So a lot of times when we think about, you know, these medical directives, these healthcare proxies, we think that, well, you know, they're only for old people. They're only for people who are terminally ill, people who have just been injured. I think, especially during this time of Corona apocalypse, I think it's even more important and it's even more prudent for everyone to have a healthcare proxy. I mean, the coronavirus is taking young people, it's taking old people, it's taking everybody. But even outside of the coronavirus, I mean, accidents, right? Accidents happen each and every day. They don't discriminate. And so it's important for each and every one of us to have a voice in how we want to be treated and how we want to go, right? And so basically the proxy, in a sense, allows our family members and friends to have an idea as to how we want to move forward in the event that we cannot speak for ourselves and we end up in the hospital, right? So questions as to whether or not we want to be kept alive on life support, those are very serious, serious considerations that many of us don't even take a second to think about, right? I mean, right now there are people on ventilators. There are people fighting for their lives with no healthcare proxies, no advanced directives. Nobody knows whether or not this person wants to be on a ventilator, whether or not this person wants to be kept alive. Like, a lot of us have no idea as to the individuals that we have currently in the hospital, what their choice is. Like, what do they want? What is their goal? And so while advances in medical technology, they save lives, we know that there's the ventilator, there are all these, you know, fancy ways to keep people alive, fancy treatments to keep people alive. All of that means nothing if the individual is incapacitated and is not wanting these extraordinary measures to be taken on them, right? But the question is, how would we know this? How would we know if, you know, John Doe wanted to, you know, be kept off a ventilator? How would we know that John Doe does not want to be put on life support? Well, we would know that if John Doe had prepared a healthcare proxy, right? So with the healthcare proxy, you can assign someone to serve as your agent, in a sense. Now, for myself, I created a healthcare proxy years ago. It might have been, I don't know, 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago. And the reason that I had created it was because I was having a procedure done. And the hospital, like, you know, they told you that you needed to designate somebody as your healthcare proxy. So at the time, my friend who had went with me to do the procedure, I named her as a healthcare proxy, you know, if anything went down, that she would be, you know, my voice, in a sense. Now, at that time, I kind of just scribbled something down real quick. I really didn't take it so, so serious because they kind of handed me this document right before I was about to go do a procedure. So there was no time for me to really think and spell out what I wanted to do. But after that point, I did go home and I downloaded the form and I sat down and I really thought about, Rita, what would you want to happen to you in the event that you were incapacitated? Would you want to be put on a ventilator? Would you want to be resuscitated? Would you want to be put on life support? You know, if you were declared brain dead, you know, is that an automatic pull the plug? Like, what would you want? And so I sat down and I was very, very meticulous in my thinking. And I was very specific when I wrote down my wishes. Now, I don't know if I'm going to reevaluate them at this point, but at the time, or what my healthcare proxy currently states, is that, you know, I do want extraordinary measures to be taken. So I do want to be resuscitated. I do want to be placed on life support, but that if I was declared brain dead, for them to pull the plug 20 days after that declaration. Now, I know some people are like, oh, miracles can happen. I am a Christian. I believe in miracles, but I also believe in science. And so there are certain heartbreaks, certain things that I just don't want my family to go through. If I'm already declared brain dead and it's been 20 days, you're pulling the plug. No, I don't want my family paying their entire life savings or bankrupting themselves to keep me alive when there really is no hope. But that's an example. You know, that's my example. That's my healthcare proxy. And when creating the healthcare proxy for the second time, my real healthcare proxy, I identified an individual who I knew would carry out my wishes. Many of us have individuals in our lives that do not agree with us. Like, for example, I would never designate my mother as my healthcare proxy because she would throw everything that I wrote out the window. In fact, she might even lose the proxy, right? She is, you know, this whole like pulling the plug thing is not in her vocabulary. However, my aunt, who I know is very sound and very respectful of people's wishes, she would carry out my wishes. And so that is why my aunt is my healthcare proxy, because my mother would not. So it's important that the person that you choose is somebody who understands you, but somebody who also respects your wishes, somebody who you know would take this role seriously as well. Because again, if you're incapacitated, this person is your voice. This person is directing, you know, the hospital team as to what you would like to happen to you, you know, in the unfortunate event where, you know, you need mechanical ventilation or sedation. And so we need to understand the patient's goals. So you, as the person preparing the healthcare proxy, you need to understand what your goals are, and you want to be able to communicate that effectively to whoever you appoint as your agent, what these goals are, so that when you are in the hospital, you know, heaven forbid, and it's that time comes for these decisions to be made, the hospital is very clear as to what your goals are and can take the measures necessary to either save your life or to make you comfortable, you know, for your passing, right? So people are probably wondering, where can I get a healthcare proxy and is it difficult to complete? So a healthcare proxy is, again, it's a very straightforward documentation. It's relatively straightforward. You do not need the assistance of an attorney to complete the healthcare proxy. And the basic elements of the healthcare proxy document is basically the identifying information of the patient. So if I'm the patient, so it would be my first name, my last name, my date of birth, who I'm designating to make these decisions on my behalf. There is a section where you can go a little bit in depth as to what the limitations may be, what you might want. Again, in my healthcare proxy, I was very specific as to making sure that they understand that I do want extraordinary measures to be taken. I want to be placed on life support. However, if I'm declared brain dead, you know, in X amount of days, pull the plug. And so then the healthcare proxy form needs to be witnessed by two people. It does not need to be notarized. And you, what I would suggest is that you provide a copy to each of the individuals that you are naming as your healthcare proxy. And I would also file a copy with your patient records at, you know, at your doctor's office or hospital system that you might be a part of. And so, you know, a lot of people are very weary about the healthcare proxy because they feel like it might give more power than they, you know, than they want to give up. But again, the healthcare proxy is really limited to medical decisions. It is not, the healthcare proxy does not provide people with the power to deal with your finances, to go to your bank account. That's a power of attorney. That's something totally separate. I know some people might be wondering whether or not they can change their healthcare proxy, meaning if you designate two individuals or one individual to be your proxy, is it final? Does this mean that they are your proxy forever? No, that's not the case. You can change it whenever you want. You just need to update, you know, fill out a new form, have your witnesses sign the form, designate the individuals that you want to designate it, make sure that you date it properly. And that's that. If you had filed it with your hospital, then you just submit a updated healthcare proxy. There are people who have a healthcare proxy form every time they do a procedure at the hospital. So it's not something that's, in a sense, binding, as in if you file it now or if you fill it out now, then that's that. You can no longer, or you can never change it again. That's not true. Because again, things change, people change. The people who were trusted today are not trusted tomorrow. It's just up to you to make sure that if it does come to a point where you no longer want certain individuals to be your proxy, that you immediately make that change. Because the last thing you want to do is have a healthcare proxy floating around in the world and you become incapacitated and that's the healthcare proxy that's available, and this individual who you do not want to make medical decisions for you is now empowered to do so. So you definitely want to be careful and be on top of it, be up to date, keep up to date with your documents So in terms of where can you get the healthcare proxy form, I mean, you could just Google it. However, I like to be I like to give directed sites because sometimes you just don't know what you're downloading from the internet. So where I normally download my healthcare proxies when I'm sending them to people, it's health, H-E-A-L-T-H dot N-Y dot gov. That's where I, you know, you log on to that website and you will be able to download the healthcare proxy form. That comes with FAQs. That also comes with instructions. It comes, you know, with a little more understanding as to what this document is. So it's a really great resource, in my opinion, that particular website. And I think that that's, you know, instead of just sending somebody the healthcare proxy form, I think it's important that they read the instructions for themselves and that they read all of the FAQs, because everybody has questions when it comes to this form, no matter how familiar you are with it. It tells you about the form and it tells you, you know, about, you know, the New York State's position on healthcare proxy law. So again, that's health, H-E-A-L-T-H dot N-Y dot gov. And that's where you can actually go and download the healthcare proxy form. So some quick updates with when it comes to the healthcare proxy, because right now, again, we are within this pandemic. And so things, you know, have been moved remotely. So somebody could be wondering to themselves, well, I want to complete a healthcare proxy, but, you know, we're on lockdown, we're in social distancing. How am I going to be able to find anybody to witness this in person and to, you know, so that I can have a viable healthcare proxy? Well, New York State allows you to complete a healthcare proxy to name an individual as well as a backup. So like I was saying before, you can name more than one person. You can name up to two people who you trust to advocate and make decisions regarding medical care on your behalf. So until May 7th, 2020, remote witnessing is available to those who are unable to meet with witnesses face to face. So you have until May 7th, 2020, as of now. I don't know if this will be extended, but as of right now, you have until May 7th, 2020. So May 7th of this year, to remotely obtain your witnesses if you are unable to get them face to face. It also says that if you are admitted to a hospital or a nursing home, staff will be able to assist you with the completion of a healthcare proxy. Also, if you are admitted to a hospital or a nursing home and are unable or unwilling to sign a healthcare proxy, the Family Healthcare Decisions Act allows others to make medical decisions on your behalf if you become unable to do so. And so what this Family Healthcare Decisions Act is, New York's Family Healthcare Decisions Act allows a patient's family member or close friend to make healthcare decisions for a patient who is in a hospital or nursing home if the patient lacks decisional capacity and did not leave prior instructions or sign a healthcare proxy. So this surrogate decision maker would also be empowered to direct the withdrawal or withholdings of life-sustaining treatment, including consenting to a DNR order when standards listed in the statute are satisfied. So I would suggest, especially in this particular time where we have a lot of our loved ones going to the hospital without advanced directives, it is important that we familiarize ourselves with this act and that we understand what our rights and responsibilities are with respect to it. So basically, how is lack of capacity determined? That's usually a question that a lot of people have. And like I said, I had mentioned basic things like dementia, Alzheimer's, et cetera, being in a coma. But for a surrogate to be allowed to make the medical treatment decisions on a patient's behalf, the facility must first make a determination of the patient's incapacity. So there is a protocol that they have to follow to be able to determine whether or not this person actually is incapacitated. So I know that people might be a little fearful now, thinking, wow, somebody might actually be able to make medical decisions on my behalf if I do not sign this healthcare proxy or if I do not have some sort of directive in place. Yes, you should be scared, because a lot of us do not trust our family members and friends, period. So now, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you plan to have a healthcare proxy or some sort of advanced directive living will in place, New York gives your family members or close friends the ability to make decisions like pull the plug on your behalf, even if that was not your intention. Again, this points to the reason as to why it's important for you guys to make your plans known. Fill out the healthcare proxy. It's a free download. You don't even need to have somebody notarize the form. You just need to get two witnesses. Because at this point, if you don't have anything in writing, you know, your life is literally in the hands of people who you might not even really consider true friends or true family. So it is important that we are aware of, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people did not know that this act was in place. And so who knows what else is out there, right? Who knows what other rights and responsibilities are being, you know, placed in the hands of individuals while we are incapacitated lying in a hospital bed. So, I mean, I can definitely go more in depth with this topic, but, you know, it's a radio show. This is not a law clinic. But if you do have any questions with regards to healthcare proxies, advanced directives, living wills, powers of attorneys, things like that, you can definitely send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com. If I can't answer your question fully, I am connected to a whole host of attorneys and professionals that will be able to answer your questions and will be able to assist you. Knowledge is power, you know, and in a time like this where, you know, any moment we can find ourselves incapacitated, any moment we can find ourselves in a pickle, you definitely want to be able to be prepared. I think one thing I've learned from this pandemic is that you have to be prepared. And the preparation is not just about the health, you know, your healthcare needs, your financials. Are they in order? If I were to go to the hospital right now, I mean, I have a 13-year-old son. He's my only heir. But if I go to the hospital right now, does anybody know what bank I use? Does anybody have access to my PIN numbers, to my accounts? Does anybody have access to my financials? And again, these are things that are very difficult for us to discuss. People don't trust people. I get it, but it's important that you find that person that you can trust with your information. You know, we are a very suspicious bunch, right? Like our culture, like we're suspicious of each other. We're not very trusting of each other. And it's, you know, it's sad, but it's necessary. I mean, I get it. I'm not trusting of most people and I get it. But when we are talking about our lives, right? Our livelihoods and the future of our children, especially when it comes to times like this, like tragic times, like this pandemic is, again, something unprecedented. And many people did not prepare for this. I mean, we don't prepare for everyday life. So imagine being how unprepared we are for something like this. But I think that it shouldn't take a pandemic to wake us up, in a sense. It shouldn't take a pandemic to have us get our lives together. But I think that while we are in this, I keep saying corona apocalypse because that's the only thing, the only way I know how to describe this era. I think it's time for us to think critically about our lives, to think about our health, our finances. You know, I think we need to, if we don't have that person that we trust, we need to find that person, because it can be any one of us. I mean, coronavirus aside, again, we could end up in a car accident. We could step foot out of our building and get shot, you know, get hit by a stray bullet. And then what? Who's making the decisions on our lives? Who did we designate to make the decisions on our lives? Who did we designate to have access to our financials, to be able to take care of our heirs, our children, our parents? Like, who? And so if you can't think of that who right now, it's important that you take some time, take the rest of the weekend, take the week. I mean, some of us have nothing but time on our hands. Take that time to really think about, you know, your life's plan. You know, if you feel like you can't do it on your own, there are estate planners, there are financial planners, there are people and professionals out there that their life's work is to assist people in the next steps. So I really encourage you guys to do that, especially with our parents. I mean, again, this, all of us should be doing this, but I think our parents, especially, we're seeing a lot of elderly people, a lot of old people dying, people in their 50s dying right now with this coronavirus situation. And I'm pretty sure like not half of them if maybe 2% of them, I don't know, have, you know, living wills, advance directives, powers of attorneys in place. I know our parents are scared to death to talk about the next steps. I mean, I was having a conversation with my uncle even before the coronavirus because he's, you know, he's sick. He has a, you know, he has cancer. And as I'm in the hospital with him, they're asking him these questions like, you know, do you want to be resuscitated? Do you want to be on life support? And he's just like, I don't know. And these are important questions. You know, do you want a blood transfusion if need be? You know, are you willing to accept one? These are all important things that we need to discuss. It's a hard conversation. It's not comfortable, but it's necessary. It's necessary on so many levels. So with that being said, everyone, I hope you all take what I'm saying, you know, don't take it with just a grain of salt. I hope you take the whole damn plate and really apply this. Like, we, you know, we really need to do better with ourselves. We need to really do better with our lives. And so I hope that you guys take heed. With that being said, everyone, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Be creative. Stay safe. You know, stay sane, keep your sanity, do what you need to do to survive and keep thriving through this coronapocalypse. And I hope to talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anytime.
Download it now.